Welcome to Glad News for Muslims, a ministry to motivate, encourage, and equip believers and churches to love all people and to communicate the good news of God's love and salvation to all, including those who practice Islam. One out of every four people living in the world today is a Muslim. The Muslim population doubles every 20 years. Muslims are growing rapidly in Europe, Australia, Canada, and America. In fact, in Southern California alone, there are 1.5 million Muslims. With more, here's your host, Sammy Tanago.
Hello, welcome back, my precious audience. I want to remind you, by Jesus' words in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, when Jesus took his 12 disciples aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." Jesus told them that he would be delivered to the Gentiles, and he was. That he would be spat upon, and he was. You can read that in the gospel. That he would be mocked, and he was. And Jesus told them that everything that is written by the prophets about him will be fulfilled. And let me give you an example. Prophet David described Jesus' death on the cross about 1,000 years before the coming of Christ. We read in Psalm 22, "A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet." Wow. Psalm 22. We read also other prophetic words of Christ's crucifixion are found in Psalm 22, verse 18. "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." This verse was a mystery to the people at that time and seemed to contain contradiction. Did they take the clothes and divide them among themselves, or did they cast lots to see who would get them? Which one was it? Okay, let me read this prophecy again. Psalm 22, verse 18. "They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Did they cast lots to see who would get them, or did they divide the clothes among them? Which one was it? The fulfillment of this prophecy is documented in the Gospel according to Jesus' disciple John, chapter 19. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, one for each of them. This fulfilled the first part of the prophecy, "They divided my garments among them." But the undergarment remained. It was seamless and woven in one piece from top to bottom. The soldiers said to one another, "Let's not tear it. Let's decide by lot who will get it." By doing this, the soldiers fulfilled the second part of the prophecy that said, "They cast lots for my clothing." The prophecy of Psalm 22, verse 18, was explained and fulfilled to the letter at the foot of the cross. I love it. Incidentally, the Jews in the first century who rejected Jesus as their savior dared not delete from their sacred scripture any one of the numerous messianic prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus. This is amazing. If they did not delete the scripture, my friend, at this crucial time in the religious history, how could they be suspected of altering their holy scripture 600 years later when Islam appeared on the scene and the Quran was written? Remember, we read in the gospel that Jesus took his 12 disciples aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." Remember, these prophecies about Jesus were written in the Holy Scripture of the Jews hundreds of years before Jesus was born. My friend, since all the prophecies that predicted Jesus' first coming, which predicted his life, his death, his resurrection, were fulfilled, then we can know for sure that all the prophecies written in the Bible about Jesus' second coming will happen, will be fulfilled. My friend, the crucifixion of Jesus is a well-attested event in history. Modern historians agree that Jesus was a historical character and that he was crucified. Even one of the most acclaimed Muslim scholars, writers in the history of Egypt, Abbas Mahmoud al-Akkad, every Egyptian knows this man, who lived in the 19th century, wrote a book about the life of Christ in which he confirmed that we can depend on the four Gospels, the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as historical evidence to know what happened in Jesus' life. Jesus said, "My friend, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me." You can read Jesus' promise in the gospel according to his disciple John, chapter 14. Jesus Christ is preparing a place in God's kingdom for all who believe in him and love him. To be with Christ, my friend, in God's kingdom mean you will enjoy peace, joy, rest, love forever in God's presence. Jesus' disciples were hoping that Jesus will go to Jerusalem and announce that he is the king who will conquer the Romans and make Israel a great nation. The disciples did not understand that Jesus came to earth not to be political and a military leader, but to secure a place for whoever believes in him in God's eternal kingdom. My friend, that's why so many of the Jewish leaders rejected Jesus, because he did not come to elevate their nation, but he came to secure a place for whoever believes in him in God's eternal kingdom. Jesus was different than Muhammad. Muhammad was a political and a military leader, came to unify the Arabian Peninsula and establish a great state. He defeated his enemies by the sword. Jesus Christ is the way to God, my friend, is the way to God, our Heavenly Father, and to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the truth, because every word Jesus said about God is true. Jesus said, "God is love." We read in the gospel that God wants to save all people because God loves all people. Jesus is alive because by his life-giving spirit, the dead in sin are quickened. Jesus made a place in heaven fully prepared for you, my friend. Please join me for more as we continue in a moment.
You're listening to Sammy Tanago, founder and president of Glad News for Muslims Ministry. Sammy's calling is one, to share Jesus effectively with Muslims, and two, to equip Christians to do the same. The value of a ministry is in the eternal fruits God has enabled the ministry to produce. The proof is in the changed lives. God has been using the messages He inspires Sammy to share to equip His Christian audience. God has also been using the book titled Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, which He guided Sammy to write to equip Christians and to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. We encourage you to examine the evidence on our website, gladnewsministry.com. Again, you'll find Sammy's book, videos, contact information for inviting Sammy as a guest speaker, and more at gladnewsministry.com. And please, as God guides you, let others know about our unique ministry and radio programs. Now, once again, here's Sammy.
We talked about the crucifixion of Jesus according to Islam in previous programs. And we discovered that because of the vague, limited, and the contradictory verses in the Quran, Muslim scholars are unsure about the end of the life of Jesus on earth. They disagree about whether He died on earth, then raised to heaven, or was raised alive to heaven without dying at all. Since these scholars have no definitive evidence or specific information regarding the circumstances of the crucifixion, their differing conclusions, which is based on verses from the Quran, involve speculation and theory. There is a lot of confusion among Muslim scholars, which I talked about in previous programs. Now, we start talking about the crucifixion of Jesus according to the gospel. For nearly 2,000 years, all true followers of Christ throughout the world have believed in the crucifixion, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the clear testimonies in the Bible to these facts, Old Testament and the New Testament, and because the Bible records the testimony of eyewitnesses. My friend, Jesus' death is directly mentioned more than 150 times in the New Testament. Let me give you an example. The Gospel according to Jesus' disciple Matthew, chapter 27, verse 50. And the Gospel according to Jesus' disciple John, chapter 19, verse 30, and 33 to 35. According to Luke, chapter 23, verse 46. This is very clear in the Bible. Jesus' death, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. Now, Muslims say the Quran tells us that it appeared to the Jews that they crucified Jesus. But the person who was arrested and crucified was somebody that actually looked like Jesus, but he was not Jesus, actually. Well, my friend, it is not rational to believe the claim. Share that with your Muslim friend. It is not rational to believe the claim made more than 600 years after Christ's crucifixion that the person crucified was not Christ, but rather someone else who looked exactly like Jesus Christ. This is one of the best jokes I ever heard in my life. This is ridiculous, actually. An analogy would be if a man were to come hundreds of years from now and tell the world that the person assassinated in America in the 20th century was not actually Martin Luther King Jr. himself, but rather someone who looked exactly like him. Everybody will laugh at that person. Furthermore, if the biblical and the other historic records of the crucifixion had been untrue, if that is proven to be untrue, we would expect the Quran to have many verses stating that Jesus did not die on the cross. Because Muslim scholars actually claim that the Quran came to give us the final revelation. However, the amazing truth is that in more than 6,000 Quranic verses, there is not a single one, not even one, that clearly refutes Jesus' crucifixion. There is not one verse, and I studied the Quran all my life, and I studied it in law school when I was preparing to be a defense lawyer in Egypt, 4 years, every year, couple of thousand pages. There is not one verse indicates that the gospel was incorrect on this point. Okay? All right. Jesus, my Muslim friend, actually is a perfect example of the person who surrendered and submit his life to God. And of course, Muslims say, we are Muslim. Muslim mean the one who surrenders and submit to God. Well, if you want to know what a man looks like who is absolutely submitted to God, look to Jesus, my friend. Jesus was a perfect man. His crucifixion actually demonstrates the meaning of the word Muslim. This is funny. Jesus obeyed God the Father to the end. Note that Jesus submitted himself to the will of his Father, leading him to the cross, to be slaughtered, to be sacrificed, just as Abraham's son submitted himself to the will of his father, Abraham, leading him to the altar to be sacrificed. The crucifixion of Jesus, my friend, represents the ultimate surrender to the will of God. Jesus said, I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. With humility, my friend, we as followers of Christ view the crucifixion as the reason for giving the greatest honor to Jesus, who willingly took our place and punishment on the cross. We also stand in awe at the power of God in raising Jesus from the dead and accomplishing our salvation. My friend, Jesus taught his followers what true submission to God really is. And actually, Jesus prayed that God's kingdom will come and God's will be done here on earth. It is done in heaven, and taught us to pray this prayer in the gospel according to his disciple Matthew chapter 6. Jesus taught us not to live for ourselves, but to live to please God, to give God our lives 100%, 24 hours, 7 days a week, to give God our hearts, emotions, thoughts, will, ambitions, goals, dreams, to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. My friend, when you follow Jesus, you will be the best person who submit his life to God. And I want to mention to you here something very important. Because of the fact that prophecies which were written in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about Jesus, hundreds of years before Jesus was born, and we saw that these prophecies were fulfilled when Jesus came to earth. My friend, since all these prophecies that predicted Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and resurrection were fulfilled, then you can be sure that all the wonderful promises God gave us in the Bible is true. You can be sure that everything is written in the gospel about Jesus is true. And Jesus, my friend, promised you and said, he who believes in me have eternal life. My friend, I invite you right now to pray with me, if you mean it from your heart, these words. God, I repent of my sins. I don't want to live far from you any longer. God, I put my faith in Jesus, that he suffered and was crucified for my sins, to pay the penalty for my sins. God, I don't want to live in sin anymore. God, I want to be your child. I want to be saved. I want to know I am going to heaven. God, thank you for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Come into my heart, Jesus. I recognize now that you are my Lord and Savior. You are God manifested in human flesh. You are my Savior, my only Savior. Thank you, God, for your passionate love toward me. In Jesus' name, I pray. My friend, if you pray this prayer, contact me. Would love to congratulate you and laugh with you and rejoice. And would love to send you some free materials and perhaps guide you to a good Bible teaching, a church close to you, and rejoice with you. Rest of my audience, pray that God will fill us with his presence. God will guide us to deny ourselves completely, to let Christ live in us, rule in our hearts and minds, and use our lives to communicate his love and to communicate Jesus in the most understandable way to multitudes of people, including multitudes of Muslims. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
I have a coworker who's Muslim. We talk here and there, but it's hard to answer some of his questions.
Okay, we do have a fellow here in our church who is an Egyptian, and he probably knows more about the Muslim faith than what they know. Mm-hmm. And he's written a book titled, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend. Many Muslims have been converted after reading this book. I would highly recommend this book by Sami Tanaho on God Loves You, My Muslim Friend.
This is a really, really good book because it focuses on the love of God for the Muslim, where he shows the biblical revelation of God and his relationship with us is that of father and child, where the Quranic revelation of God is master and slave. And the gospel brings us into the family of God as children of God with a loving, gracious Heavenly Father. Not to mention the fact that the biblical story is true and the story of the Quran is not true.
I have to tell you that God guided me to write the book, Glad News, God Loves You, My Muslim Friend, to answer questions Muslims usually ask about our Christian faith, and to present Jesus in the most understandable, convincing, and attractive way to Muslims. God used the Glad News book to help thousands of Muslims become followers of Christ. You can read many testimonies on our website. Please buy as many Glad News books as you can. Keep one of them. Give one to your pastor and the others to the Muslims you will meet through divine appointments. I encourage you to believe that when you take actions and invest in our ministry, God will use your life to help so many Muslims spend eternity with him. To order, call 714-514-2558. Again, 714-514-2558. Thank you for listening. The phone number we share is my personal number, and I am available to offer you encouragement to share Jesus with your Muslim friends and family. That number once again, 714-514-2558. If God puts it on your heart to enable us to share Jesus effectively with more Muslims, you can donate at our website.
You've been listening to Glad News for Muslims with Sami Tanago. For more information about the ministry, visit gladnewsministry.com. You can also call 714-514-2558 or write Sami, S-A-M-Y, at gladnewsministry.com. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.